This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of the Punt Intended Podcast, a Dynasty Fantasy Basketball podcast and a Sports Ethos production. I am your host, Mark C., the Dynasty leader over at Sports Ethos. You can find me at MacAttack145 on Twitter and my writings and rankings over at SportsEthos.com. And today's topic, of course, has to be the NBA draft and some of my reactions to it. And the draft just happened a couple days ago. I think we've had a little bit of time to absorb it and really think about, okay, what does this mean for my dynasty leagues and my rookie drafts? So let's start with some broader thoughts on the draft before we delve into some specific players that I want to discuss. And honestly, I'm just not that enamored with this crop of prospects. The first round, you know, I was excitedly watching. I was on our blurb feed over at Sports Ethos, writing up all the details. And then the second round came, and I was tracking those picks, and I just was not really too excited about the players being drafted. And as I've been going through my rookie rankings and finalizing them the past week or so here, it became tough around the 20 to 30s range. And that's not because I was struggling to tier them or rank them necessarily, but it was because I was getting into a territory of, I don't really think these players are going to matter too much. I don't really see them being impactful for fantasy or on the court in the NBA. And you're getting very much to what I like to call coin flip territory, where it's, well, maybe this player or prospect pans out, maybe they don't. I really don't think they will, but you know a couple of them are. But I have, frankly, you can't be sure when you get to that range and confident who is going to pan out. Just to give an idea of the level of, not dislike, the level of not interest, disinterest I have on this year's draft for Dynasty, I think around probably 40, the 40th rank on my rookie rankings, that players onward there will not be in the top 350 of my Dynasty rankings. Last season, that cutoff was around 50. That's a good amount of names. And that's not even discounting the fact that, even spots 25 to 40, they're probably going to be lower in my Dynasty rookie rankings than they were in previous seasons. So with that in mind, I am really looking to probably trade out of the later parts in this draft in my rookie Dynasty drafts. So for a 30-team league, that's going to be, picks around 25 onward. I am completely fine trading for more established players. So translate that for your leagues. And most of my Dynasty leagues, they're 30 teams. So pick 25 onward is going to be late first, early second range. For smaller leagues, I don't hate the middle round. So actually, 10 to 20, I do kind of like for some value. After that, though, really it's at spots 25th overall in your rookie drafts where I'm probably looking to trade away for more established players. Maybe trading someone and targeting like a Josh Minot for a pick in that range, late first and early second in a 30 team. That's the sort of move that I'm going to be looking at in my leagues. Basically trading those players for maybe not established players yet, or players who I think still have a little bit of room to go, or just generally undervalued before they take off. I mean, that's normally what you're looking for out of this rookie draft, and I think there are players that are in the league today that are just more valuable than what you can draft in your rookie drafts late, and that are probably very acquirable. That's going to be probably my strategy. And what's the reason for this? Why am I seeming like a hater on the later rounds and the later picks of the NBA draft? There's a variety of reasons for that. But really, it comes down to there's just a lot of older prospects in this draft, a lot of poor fantasy translation, a lot of players I somewhat shrug at in terms of just what I think their statistical output's going to be at the NBA level. There's a lot of hustle guys, energy players, good-sized forwards who maybe are a good body, but, maybe not the greatest three-point shooting, maybe not the greatest event creator on defense, maybe not really too much dynamism on ball. So that's kind of a lot of hustle guys, energy players, glue guys. That's kind of the profile of players you're looking at, really, about probably picks 30 onward, really most of the second round. And, I mean, I do appreciate these type of players. Don't get me wrong, I do. They're helpful in the NBA. And they're helpful in your rotation as depth options or in the back end of NBA rosters. But, again, that's as depth options. That's not really fantasy relevant players all the time, or that intriguing for fantasy, even if they do develop enough to see some minutes in a rotation role. I mean, how many people do you see getting excited about Dorian Finney-Smith, a perfectly credible rotation forward and wing who had some moments, but I mean, he really isn't that exciting of a fantasy player. That's definitely not the type of player that, you know, I'm waking up seeing a Fantrax notification come across overnight for a trade, and it's involving a player like Dorian Finney-Smith. Then I just kind of put my phone down in disgust. Not disgust, but, oh, I got kind of amped up and excited for that. That's really a lot of the player types that we're seeing in the second round. In addition, getting onto the older prospects, there's a myth of older prospects being more win-now players because they're more NBA-ready, they're more developed. And that's just not true. If you actually look at the data and look at it historically, a lot of these older players are littered throughout this draft, especially. I mean, sometimes even in the first round, later half of the first round, throughout the second round. That's partially due to the name, image, and likeness rules and regulations that have come out in college, partially due to some of the COVID years and older players being granted an extra year of eligibility. But I just can't get too excited about them. Older prospects, you know, 22 draft age plus, have historically been shown to have little high-end upside and actually perform worse on an average compared to other ages. They're not actually more win now. They're just not as good normally. I mean, there's a reason they didn't come out in an earlier drafts class. If they were actually good enough to come out, they would have come out most likely. So the fact they stayed in college, that's not really an argument that they're better, or they're more win now, or they're more NBA ready. They just weren't NBA ready earlier, and now they are, which, yeah, as you get older, you probably should be a little bit more physically developed, but you've had more years working on your game. And I think, you know, Dalton Knecht is a prime example of this. He should be a decent fit on the Lakers. I do like the landing spot, but more on court and in real life and not for fantasy. Well, really, I'm just not excited about Dalton Knecht as a fantasy prospect in general. Are you just getting some shooting for 20 minutes per game? I don't think you're getting much of an on-ball role for him there. Are you just getting some threes? Cool. I mean, threes are nice. But if that's really the only positive fantasy skill set you're getting, I mean, how would now NBA ready is that type of player? You can say the same thing about Tristan Da Silva, who I think will be a fine rotation forward. I detailed him on an earlier pod, but okay, maybe you get some threes and some other stats here and there. Cool. You drafted Dorian Finney-Smith. That's probably honestly his upside scenario. That's not someone I'm getting excited about personally. I mean, previous season examples of players that were deemed to be win now players, deemed to be NBA ready, include Chris Duarte, Ochai Agbaji, Davion Mitchell. And where are they now? I mean, not really in too exciting places. Duarte was basically moved on from the Pacers to the Kings. Ochai Agbaji moved on from the Jazz to the Raptors. And both don't look like they really have rotation spots. Davion Mitchell was pretty much just dumped to the Raptors. And we'll see what role he has. I don't think it's going to be too much. So don't get too focused or locked in on they're older prospects. They're going to help my fantasy team win now. Yeah, if you're drafting for that, I think you're missing really. It just shouldn't be used too much as an evaluation tool, honestly. Another myth I want to dispel is the myth that, oh, wow, how did Team X get player Y so late? That's such a steal. That's such great value. How could that player fall that far in the draft? And I tweeted about this a little bit, but especially in the second round, where that's where players can sign two-way deals, or the guaranteed money might be a little less to help first or second apron teams in a luxury tax. Agent in teams are coordinating landing spots. That normally could be based on playing time, could be based on guaranteed money, could be based if that player is willing to sign a two-way, or if they're willing to be stashed for a year overseas or not. There is so much negotiations that agents and teams are doing to maneuver players and prospects to landing spots based on pretty much all those factors I just named. I mean, Trace Jackson Davis, I think, is he's a poster child for this, though. He was picked 57 last year, and there was a ton of talk about, wow, what a steal. How did he drop? And especially as the season went on and Jackson Davis performed very well for the Warriors in his role, even more talk about, they got the steal of the draft. They did amazing. Wow. So good. The Warriors really scouted it extremely well. And I'm not going to say they didn't scout well. I mean, it was a good identification of them for a player that would be well for the system, be able to produce well, and just provide all the things that he does. But he didn't drop because other teams weren't interested in his talent. He dropped because the Warriors were willing to give him guaranteed money. Anthony Slater of The Athletic, he's the Warriors beat writer, reported that there were lots of teams who wanted Trace Jackson Davis, but on a two-way contract. And, you know, he wasn't too interested in that. The Warriors, though, were offering the most contract security, and his agent helped maneuver him there for that reason. So did Trace Jackson Davis really drop, or was he just maneuvered to a spot? He was maneuvered to a spot. So how can we apply that information and knowledge to our rookie drafts? I say you start ignoring draft capital in the second round. As I said, there's a ton of background machinations at work, so don't go buy draft capital in the second round. Don't use that to rank your rookies for your draft, or, you know, draft, say, oh, you know, this player was taken at pick 32 or 33, therefore I'm going to draft him over pick 30, 40, 45, because, yeah, higher draft pick means more playing time. No, that is not always the case, and very rarely the case. Go by how you evaluate the prospects. Don't factor in landing spot too much in the deeper parts of your draft, because these are second-round prospects. They are not expected to be good. They are not expected to produce. Evaluate them based on the player. And it's a bit of a lesson learned for myself as well. You know, I had Trace Jackson Davis 32nd on my rookie rankings last year. I mean, that is well above his draft slot. But honestly, looking back, maybe that might have even been a bit too low of a ranking given some of his statistical markers that he had. So players that this concept applies to this year, PJ Hall and Trey Alexander, both who landed on the Nuggets on two-way deals and were both undrafted. But, I mean, I had them as firm second-round prospects. They're going to be, you know, probably in that 35 to 40 range. And, yes, I did kind of, you know, bemoan that range earlier, but I think there are both interesting players in that range. Keyshawn Johnson landed with the Miami Heat as an undrafted free agent, who I also thought was, you know, in the 40s and 50s for my big board. I think he's an interesting player as well. And so those are the type of players that, you know, just don't ignore because they were undrafted and think no one wanted them. No, it's probably because there was some background work at play here. So that's some of my broader thoughts on this draft class and just some concepts that I want you to keep in mind when you're approaching your rookie drafts and when you're doing your rookie rankings. So, I mean, those two are keep in mind age, keep in mind win-now prospects. That's not always true. Keep in mind landing spot. And in general with this draft class, the later rounds and later picks probably are not your friends.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Okay, now that we kind of have discussed some of my broader thoughts, let's dive in a little bit on individual players and some more specific thoughts on players. And so the first one might seem to contradict what I just said earlier. And so you know how I said ignore draft capital late? That works a little bit different earlier in the draft. And the first player we're going to discuss with that is Zach Edey. And personally, you know, I detailed him earlier on a previous pod. I think his defensive warts are going to limit his upside and his starter capabilities in the NBA. But the Grizzlies took him at 9. And I think a little bit of a surprise pick for many people. I mean, to me, taking someone at 9, yeah, that indicates a pretty good belief in him as a contributing player in the NBA. That makes him a lottery pick. That makes him someone the Grizzlies clearly believe in. And because of that, yeah, he's going to get some run. His permanent production should be solid. And he's someone I can easily see producing pretty well. And I specifically said on my ED prospect discussion that if he gets drafted earlier, I'm going to be much more interested. And yeah, here we are. He got drafted earlier, so I'm a little more interested than I previously was. There should be a decent spot opened up for him. The Grizzlies moved on from Steven Adams, and picking Edey at 9 makes me think they're probably not going to acquire any other big man in free agency. And yeah, that gives Edey a pretty clear runway to have some immediate impact. Next two prospects I want to discuss here are Isaiah Collier and Kyle Filipowski. And I just don't get their drops. Collier dropped to 29 in the draft, and I'm glad he got drafted. He was in the green room. It's honestly, I don't know why the NBA invites so many prospects to the green room. I think they invited 24. It's just setting up these guys for failure, and it's just hard to see. But anywho, Collier dropping to 29, I just don't get that. Filipowski dropped to 32 and picked up again by the Utah Jazz. And I had both as, Collier was a pretty firm lottery prospect for me, and Filipowski was fringe lottery for me. I think they are two talented players, and I like both a lot. I've spoken pretty highly on them on previous pods. And yeah, they're going to be higher in my rookie rankings relative to where they were drafted. Now, there is a lot of bodies in the Jazz rotation, both at the guard spots and in those front court spots, so that is a little concerning, but I'm just willing to buy the talent on both Collier and Filipowski and think that they'll prove themselves in time. Collier has the makings of a lead guard and, to me, is the best rim penetrator in this draft and creates I guess, is one of the best advantage creators in this draft. That is just a super valuable player in fantasy and on the court. That's a player that you can potentially build your team around, and your NBA team around, and your fantasy team around. I'm not saying that's likely for him. I'm not saying Collier doesn't have warts. I am saying that I think he's a good gamble in this draft class. Kyle Filipowski, he's seen the drop because of some off-court reasons that I'm not going to get into here, but I don't really think it's a huge concern for him, long-term at least. I think Filipowski has a really good intersection of dribble, shooting, and passing skills, especially at his size, and I really think that's where the NBA is going. So both those players, both Collier and Filipowski, I'm going to be pretty high on. We haven't even talked about the first overall pick yet, Zachary Arisache to the Atlanta Hawks. And, I mean, he's someone who's going to see minutes. He just is. I think he's going to be a perfectly credible forward in time and will develop into one. But his fantasy skill set just isn't the most enticing. And just because he was picked number one overall doesn't mean that you have to. I think he'll be a fine starter, and he'll see plenty of minutes in the NBA now and in the future. But he's just not a dynamic option. Don't really see great statistical projections here. I think you're just talking about a decent player who picks up some stats, being in starting lineups, which is fine. That's a decently safe player. But I don't really see any great on-ball upside, great shooting upside, great defensive upside from Arisache. Getting some guys that I'm just highly unlikely to have any shares of in my dynasty leagues now. First two are Dalton Knecht and Tristan Da Silva. These are both those older players, and I mentioned them earlier. These are both older players that I just don't think are going to become starters long term, and I don't see the statistical upside with them. And we're factoring in that they're both older guys, and the history is not very kind to older prospects. I think there's a lot actually working against them in terms of dynasty and fantasy. So they're going to be lower on my rookie rankings relative to their draft slot. I'm perfectly happy letting other players, or other managers rather, buy into the narratives around them. Let's have a little bit of a longer discussion on Stephon Castle now. And he's someone I did a deeper dive on an earlier pod. Again, check that out if you want to know more of why I'm lower on him. But I just don't see a lead guard here. Even though he's commented that he wants to be the point guard, he wants to be leading the team and running a team, I just don't see that really. I don't see someone who can be great off-ball on offense. And I know he had some good cutting numbers at UConn, and I do appreciate his connectivity. But UConn was one of the best, if not the best, X's and O's program in the country. Dan Hurley was a fantastic coach who set up his players extremely well. And you could argue, yeah, well, UConn had a lot of talent. So that's why Castle deferred. That's why he was part of the system, was because he had so much talent and a coach who knew how to utilize that talent. And I'd actually argue the opposite here, that because he had so much talent and because he had such good coaching, that actually helped him, Stephon Castle, look good in his role. And it's actually not as indicative of a player who can grow more and has this upside. I actually almost see that as a demerit that he was on such a talented squad. I don't think that squad was holding him back. I think it helped enhance his positive attributes. And in terms of his defense, I mean, he just didn't have as much event creation that you like to see in a prospect that is applauded for his defense. That's not me saying he's a bad defender. That's me saying I don't think he'll get steal and block numbers that we'll be fully satisfied with for fantasy. Now, with the San Antonio Spurs, he's going to get opportunities quickly. They do need some young guard talent. And with Castle being drafted at 4, we're going to see real quick, we're going to find out soon just what I think his abilities are and where he could develop to. I think Stephon Castle is one of those players that I'm going to appreciate his connectivity. I'm going to appreciate his offensive versatility. And I do think he's going to impact winning positively. He'll be one of those players on, EPM boards or EPM metrics that grades out pretty well, even if the statistical production isn't there. But I'm not drafting for teammate everyone wants on their team. I'm drafting for fantasy stats and production. So unless that dog in him becomes a fantasy category, just count me out at where I'm expecting him to fall in rookie drafts. The last two players I want to bring up here are Cody Williams and TJ Anselon. Cody Williams went to the Utah Jazz at 10, and Saloon went to the Charlotte Hornets at 6. And both these players are younger prospects, so I like that aspect. They need a lot of polishing, a lot of refinement, and there are a lot of potential right now. And I know rookie managers in Dynasty love the word potential. But at some point, that potential has to become production. And currently, the statistical markers and projections are not very kind to them in a multitude of ways for both prospects. I think both Williams and Salon are going to need a lot of time for them to develop before we're even sure if they're good or not. And that's just not even good or not for fantasy. That's good or not on the NBA court. And these are just not players I'm willing to wait on for years and years. Well, maybe 2 to 3 seasons, rather. I'm not going to go too crazy. But they're not players I'm willing to wait on for a few seasons to see if they actually do hit their theoretical upside. And we don't even know if that's going to translate to good fantasy stats in production. So these are two players that it's hard for me to take too high with just that sort of uncertainty around them. Not just uncertainty in their development tracks, but uncertainty if that's going to even lead to good fantasy production.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwood1, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwood1 now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwood1.
So that will wrap it up for this episode and kind of my instant draft reactions. I know I kind of poo-pooed a little bit in the second round. There are going to be some players that I do like that were drafted later. There will be. But I'm saving those specific names for my rookie rankings when they are released and for Sports Ethos NBA Fantasy Pass subscribers. If you do have specific questions, I urge you to subscribe to that Sports Ethos NBA Fantasy Pass. We do have a great sale going on right now, and you can lock that in. You're going to get a ton of other content as well with that. So there's a lot of great things you can get with that. You also get access to our premium Discord there, where I was dropping thoughts during the draft, and I will be during free agency. And we've already had some good discussions over how to tackle the rookie draft with draft picks, trade options you should consider now. And you can ping me, ask me for questions. I am pretty accessible there. And you can get instant feedbacks or instant comments on your team squad or makeup or what you should be looking to do. I'm currently am working on fleshing out my rookie rankings. Those should be finalized. They may actually be released by the time this pod is out, but if not, they should be my rookie rankings and top 60 should be out in the next couple of days, so be on the lookout for that. With that said, I'm looking forward to a busy free agency period and just to see what happens and what goes on. See you for now.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.